Back with Fisherman Forecast Now and Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli, brought to you by the Gloucester House Restaurant.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Coach, I have to ask you, 3-and-out for Gloucester last week, first play from scrimmage, Mike Pedrini goes 80 yards. What's the first thing you were thinking about at that time? What went through your head?
Well, we knew Melrose was a great football program. We knew the Pedrini kid was a great running back. I actually saw it happen. When you're on the field, you don't always have the best view. But I saw my backside linebacker kind of get caught in the wave, and there wasn't much of a gap, to be honest with you, and the Pedrini kid found it, and he snuck through, and once he got through that, that first and second layer, he was gone. And, we got lucky. Sometimes you get lucky. They held us in the secondary, kid couldn't make the play, and the referee saw it. We made some corrections after that, made sure the linebacker knew, what had happened on that play, and I think we played it a little bit better from that point forward. So, yeah, it was a huge play. Eye-opening for us, and I think our kids understood what we were in for. And luckily, play got called back, didn't amount to anything for them, and we were able to stop them in the next couple plays.
Well, it amounted to a wake-up call because, as you said, you guys responded to it after they didn't get the touchdown. Amazing to me that you had such a terrific game between the two running backs that was predicted, between Christian Sanfilippo and Mike Pedrini. But when you consider Pedrini had over 200 total yards, and yet, it looked, from a fan's perspective, like you stopped him.
Yeah, I mean, he had that big one run after that one that was called back. He had a 75-yarder. And I think that was, probably, if not half, if not the majority, it was half of his rushing yards. We've had this bend but break mentality all season long where we'll give up a few plays here and there. But when we get into the red zone, we tighten up the defense, and I think our kids have really bought into that formula. We keep everything in front of us, no big plays, and we tighten up when we need to. And I think we've done a good job of that all year.
A couple of plays that I saw on defense in particular were really eye-opening, and I think it might have sent a message to Pedrini and Melrose, and they were by Nate Young and what could have been huge gainers by Pedrini, but he stopped them one-on-one cold.
Yeah, Nate's been a great player for us this year. Coming into this year, we had a secondary that we basically graduated our entire secondary last year. Nate had a little bit of experience, but not much. And he's turned out to be one of our, our pleasant surprises. He does a phenomenal job, not only in coverage, but reacting to the run. He's kind of our last line of defense. And the funny thing is, on that 75-yard touchdown run, the one that counted, Nate was on the other side of the field. So he wasn't able to make a play on that. But more often than not, we may give up a big play here or there, but Nate's usually the guy that's going to track you down. He's faster than people think. He's a smart football player. He knows how to work his angles. He knows his pursuits. And if he's gets an angle on you, he'll catch you, and he breaks down when he gets there, and he makes that tackle. He's probably one of the surest tacklers we have on this team.
How big was that stop at the end of the first half, Coach, when I think they got down to the 2-yard line?
Huge. It's a game changer. They'd marched all the way down the field, and again, it's that bend but break don't mentality, right? Let's eat the clock, let them eat the clock. I think they had one timeout left moving down the field. We tried to limit the big plays, tried to keep everything in front of us. And like I said, when we get into the red zone, you tighten up. I believe it was Aquapel made a great play on that last to let the clock run out when the quarterback took it up the middle, and he made the tackle at the 3-yard line and time expired. So, it was just great play all the way around on defense. We gave him a little bit too much, I think, personally. But the fact that we were able to stop him, keep him out of the end zone, let the time expire and go in with a 12-0 halftime lead, that was huge for us.
Even at 18-6 in the second half when they were coming back, they stalled finally. Same type of thing at the end zone. But, Coach, I want to ask you about your offensive line because Christian Sanfilippo, I think you had him run 8 or 9 or 10 straight times at one point in the second half, and he rolled up 200, by my count, 222 yards total, including the reception that he had. But it looked as though many times he had a place to run through on offense.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of this offense. You know, when Paul Ingram coached here, one of the things he always taught and he always coached us up was, you know, if they're going to take away this, then they can't take away that. So it's up to us as a coaching staff to determine what plays they're taking away and what plays are opening up. Because it's not just, you know, zone read right, zone read left. We have very specific plays that we run. And if they gear their defense towards stopping one thing, then something else should be open. We ran Brucey a lot in that second half, and on that one long drive, I think we ran 19 plays because Christian's play, his number was called, and that was the play that opened up, and we were able to capitalize on that. They made an adjustment, they moved to stop that, and something else opens up. And, you know, I think Christian understands the offense very well. He understands, well, if Coach Cerulli and the coaches are calling this, then that means this is where he needs me to run, this is where the play is going to open up, and he trusts that, and he trusts the line's going to block for him. I think the line's been doing a great job. We started out with a young crew, and they've learned as they've gone, and they understand the system. We've done a lot more things this year than we've ever done in the past, from no huddle to various formations to different plays that we've never run before, and they've picked it up as they've gone, and I feel more comfortable now probably than I have with any of my other, you know, teams, that I can call something and they're going to execute it. So.
You guys run a lot, needless to say, but your skilled position players, and I think this has been a hallmark of Gloucester teams, your skilled position players will block, and this team looks like it's doing it as well.
They have to. I mean, that's one of the prerequisites. That's the first thing we look at. You know, when we do individual period, we don't even touch a football with the backs. We do blocking period, blocking period, blocking period, blocking period. They need to understand that they're just as much of the team as everybody else when it comes to these plays. They're just as much of the scheme. They're going to be counted on for accounting for their block, for their person on the defensive side of the ball. And it takes 11 men, you know, it takes 11 men to have a successful play, from everything from the QB who hands the ball off and carries out his fake, to the running back carrying the ball, to the other nine guys who everybody has a responsibility. And play doesn't work unless 11 guys are doing their responsibility. Sometimes Brucey will run the ball, sometimes Mark Smith will run the ball, and Brucey will be counted on to block. Sometimes, you know, Edwards carry ball, and Mark and Brucey are gonna block. You know, sometimes Brucey will carry the ball, and the other two are gonna block. That's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. First week of playoffs, I'm trying to think here, but I don't think anybody in the conference lost. I think everybody in the conference won. Maybe with one exception, but your dual county league and Middlesex league and I don't know what else, but it looks to me like the conference is a little bit stronger than maybe people gave it credit for.
Yeah, you know, everybody talks about these other conferences, Middlesex, dual county, and what great football programs they are, football, you know, powerhouses. But, you know, the Northeast Conference is just as tough as any, you know, and I think it shows that. You look at Division II alone, and there's four teams left, and three of them are Northeast Conference. I know Peabody's still alive. I know Beverly's still alive. There's a lot of good teams and a lot of good football programs here in the Northeast. And, you know, I think that's testament to the players that we get down here, or up here, and I think the coaches. You know, we take pride in the Northeast Conference, and I think it shows.
Marblehead has been down, and they've been up. And right now they are up. And, you know, everybody knows that they're number one, and they're a very skilled, talented team. And so what's the message with your guys this week, Coach?
Yeah, Marble has been up for a while now. You know, they do a great job over there. They're a great program. They always seem to just reload. They never seem to lose a step. Defensively, they're solid. They're sound defense. They know their responsibilities, and they execute them. Offensively, you know, they do so many multiple things that, you know, get your head spinning sometimes. Our message to our kids are, you know, nobody expects anything from us, right? You know, we can go in there. We can take it to this team. I think we're feeling very confident defensively. I think we have a great defensive game plan going in. We watched some films. We went over what we're going to do. And I think the kids really see that if they execute their game plan, it works. And that was my message to them yesterday, offensively and defensively. We watched film from last year. We watched film from this year. And plays are there. Offensively, the plays were there. We just didn't execute last year. A lot of missed blocks, a lot of bouncing off players. And our message this week is just execute, 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 and good things will happen.
Coach, you played against big teams, and you've had big teams come in here and play, and you've coached against big teams, and big teams have come in here, you know, when Gloucester was big and so on. And this is my final thought or question. Is there anything to the psychology of football? You hear coaches, and especially coaches, talk about coming up to Gloucester and playing, you know, what a great place it is to play because of the competitiveness and so on. And, you know, the road trip from hell going down to Winthrop. But is there anything to it when you face a team, when kids have seen, like, I don't know, I'll leave it at that. Is there anything to the psychology of football in high school?
I think good teams are good teams, regardless of where they play. Is there home field advantage? Yeah, of course. You know, it's always nice to play home where, you know, you don't have to get on the bus. You don't have to travel an hour to Winthrop or Revere or wherever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the better football teams will win the day. And that doesn't mean that they're the highest ranked team. That doesn't mean that they're the team with the best record. I think that it comes down to, you know, what football really is. And it's blocking and tackling. And it's the execution of your game plan offensively and defensively. If you can execute your game plan better than the other team, you'll win. Is there a mentality that goes with that? Yeah, you know, especially at high school, you know, these kids have so much going for them and they have so much, you know, competition. You know, they see these kids not only on the football field, but on the hockey rink, on the basketball court. They know these kids better than I do. You know, they'll come in, they'll say, oh yeah, an 87 from soccer, they play basketball against him. He's a center. You know, he threw an elbow. You know, they get all these stories about all these kids that they've played with on all these other sports. So they see these kids over and over and over again. And, you know, bragging rights goes a long way in high school. You know, these kids are all over social media. I know there's a bunch of Melrose kids tweeting our kids last week, apparently. You know, I don't know. I'm not on that. But apparently there's a lot of stuff going on between these kids. And that mentality, that you know, competitive juices, it really gets these kids flowing at high school. So, yeah, there is something to be said for that.
All right. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you.
That's Gloucester football coach Tony Cirilli with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.